I'd like to turn to the book of John, chapter 14 and chapter 15. John chapter 14, and we'll be reading into verse 15. I want to just read the last sentence of verse 31 of chapter 14 and then read through verse 11. Of chapter 15. Jesus speaking, "Arise, let us go hence. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." It's not our message, but just think upon those words. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." It's not our purpose this morning to view these words, these verses, in an expository way. There's much here. But rather, in a topical way, the topic of these verses is abiding in Christ. It is seen from the fact that the word abide occurs eight times. The word abideth one time. In addition, there is the like words, continue and remaineth. So the subject is abiding. This abiding in Christ is in light of who Christ is. He says, "I am the vine." It is also in light of who the Father is. He is the husbandman. And it is in light of who we are. We are the branches. And the result of this abiding is fruit. The word fruit occurs six times. So all of that serves as an encouragement to abide. To abide in Christ. I want to speak this morning on an abiding place for a life of abiding. First of all, we want to just consider the context of these verses. It would take us back to chapters 13 and 14. And it's there that we see Jesus in the upper room with the 12 apostles. It's on the night before the Passover, or the night before his crucifixion. These apostles had heard the call of Christ. They had left their jobs. They had left their homes. They had left their families to follow him. And for the past 3.5 years, they had been with Jesus, night and day. And life was good. They had seen Him work countless miracles. They'd seen Him heal innumerable individuals. They'd seen Him deliver people from all sorts of things. They had seen Him walk on water. They had seen Him calm the storms. They witnessed Him feeding well over 5,000 people on one occasion with a few loaves and a few fishes. 3 occasions they saw Him raise the dead. They had witnessed Jesus going into dire places, places of human impossibilities, places of great wretchedness. And He would go into those places and He would enter into the lives of men, women, and children of various backgrounds. And they watched Him as He showed pity and care and tenderness and kindness. And as He transformed lives by His miraculous power. They had spent the last years listening to the greatest teachings ever spoken from the lips of Jesus Christ. They had just witnessed the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The people lining the streets, waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna to the King. And in chapter 13, Jesus is in the upper room of a house with the 12. And it is there that He tells them, I'm leaving. And where I am going, you cannot come. He told them the shocking and disturbing news that one of them, would betray Him. That, of course, being Judas. And He also spoke there in John 13 that Peter would deny the Lord 3 times. What they heard that night was unthinkable to them. And then He spoke of His death. It is in chapter 13 that Judas leaves. And Christ is now there with the 11. And as a result of what Jesus had just told them, these 11, of course, they're in a state of confusion. They're in a state of alarm. Fear has filled their minds. No doubt the level of anxiety was high. They are in distress. Their hearts are in commotion. You see, because what Jesus had told them, it wasn't how they had envisioned things. Jesus had told them of His death before this, but they didn't understand it. So it's not how they envisioned things. And whatever peace and joy they had, it was gone. It had vanished that night. It was as if their whole world was changing. It was a time of almost unbearable difficulty and trial. In John chapter 14, Jesus sees that these 11 now are hurting. He sees that they are in torment and that they are in great need. And He tells them in John 14, verse 1, He says, let not your heart be troubled. And with those words, he's telling them, though it is difficult, though it is a difficult and challenging time, you are allowing your hearts to be troubled. Stop it. That's basically what he said. When he said, let not your heart be troubled, the implication is that they were allowing their hearts to be troubled. That's always the case. So he's saying, don't do that. There are many troubles and difficulties which cannot be avoided. But this trouble can be. Let not your heart be troubled. The implication is that heart trouble can be prevented. So Jesus is seeking to comfort and encourage them, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow your spirit to be cast down. Don't allow your mind to be pulled in all kinds of directions. Don't allow circumstances to take away your peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And then he exhorts them, you believe in God, believe also. That is, in the same manner that you believe God, believe also in me. With those words, he declares his deity. He says, you believe God, believe me. Why? Because I am God. With those words, he declares his deity, but he looks upon their troubled and worried and unsettled faces. And here's the solution. Believe. Believe in me. Don't allow your heart to be given over to distress. But rather than do that, be persuaded in me. Place your confidence in me. Put your complete dependence in me. Be assured of me. Place your trust in me. Lean upon me. Look unto me. Be committed unto me. Believe in me. And then Jesus went on in chapter 14 to assure them. Again, he had told them, I'm going away, and where I go, you can't come. But he goes on to assure them that he was going away to prepare a place for them, and that he would come again for them, that where I am, there may ye be also. He tells them in verse 15 that while he's away, they are to manifest their love to him by keeping his commandments. And he promises them that the Holy Spirit would come, that he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would be a comforter, and the Holy Spirit would be a teacher, and that they would be able to have fellowship with God. And notice what he said in verse 27 of John 14. He says, peace I leave with you. Not just any kind of peace, but my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And then he repeats, let not your heart be troubled. So he says, I am going to give you a tranquility and a calm that the world cannot give. And then he repeats, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. And in verse 28 and 29, he tells them that the reason he is telling them these things is that they could believe, because that's the solution to their problems. If they would just believe. And then in verse 30, to further prepare them for what they were going to face, he mentions the prince of this world, referring to Satan. But he says, he has nothing in me. In other words, I'm victorious over him, and my victory is your victory. And at the close of chapter 14, he says unto them, arise. They were sitting at the table, arise. They stand up. He says, let us go hence. Let us go out there. Stand up and let us go out there. And coming to chapter 15, they have now left that upper room. And they are now outside. They have left the sanctuary of that upper room. And without a doubt, these 11, they're struggling. They're struggling to apprehend the truths that Jesus had just declared. And without a doubt, they are fearful, wondering, what are we going to have to face without him? How are we going to go on? And it is in that atmosphere that Jesus speaks to them the words of our text. Keep in mind, as they go from that upper room, they've already heard, believe, believe. And they've already heard that they can have the very peace of Jesus. And they have heard twice, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be confused. Don't be agitated. Don't be alarmed. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Don't be distressed. And now they've left that upper room. They have no idea what difficulty and trials lie ahead, and there were plenty. And they no doubt have some trepidation, wondering what's going to happen. Once outside, Jesus, just like he did in the upper room, except more emphatically, he calls their attention to himself. That's always what we need. And he says, I am. I am. Arise, let us go hence. I am. He's called their attention to himself. He then proceeds to speak of an analogy, an extended metaphor, if you will. And he says, I am the true vine. By using the word true, there is a suggestion of something that is false. There is the suggestion of a contrast. Why didn't Jesus just say, I am the vine? He did later on. But he said, I am, at this moment, he said, I am the true vine. Well, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 5, Jeremiah 2, Hosea 10, the nation of Israel is spoken of as God's vine. And in those mentions, they are viewed as a diseased vine, as a degenerated and a defective vine. So when Jesus said, I am the true vine, he's drawing a contrast between himself and what they were in themselves. He said, I am the true vine. He is telling them, I am the source of life and nourishment that you need. He then speaks of the branches. In verse 2, he speaks of the branches' connection to the vine. And in verse 4, he speaks of the inability of the branch to bring forth fruit apart from the vine. The only reason the branch bears the clusters is because the vine produces them. The branch does not produce the clusters. It bears them, but it doesn't produce them. He then makes application to them In verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. But he repeats this truth about himself. I am the vine. And then as a reminder, he says to them, for without me, that is, you the branches, severed from me, ye can do nothing. Severed from me, ye can do nothing. In other words, in and of yourselves, you're no better than a branch severed from the vine. We as God's people need to hear Jesus say every day, arise, let us go hence. I'm glad that Jesus does not just say every day, go. He says, arise, let us go hence. I don't have to go out there by myself. Let us go hence. And every day we ought to walk outside with him. And then when we get outside, he says, I'm the vine. Just so you remember, don't forget, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Don't forget that. Every day you go out there, go with him, and hear him say, I am the vine, you're the branches. Remember, without me, you can do nothing. Abide in me. We need to hear that every day. So this is a call to a way of life. We've looked at the context. Now we'll see. This is a call to a way of life. Abide in me. In the light of the fact that the strength, the vigor, the beauty, the fertility of the branch is in the vine and is dependent upon the vine, Jesus issues this command, abide in me. Now what Christ has in view here is not our standing. Our standing refers to our position as a child of God. That can never change. But he's referring to our state, our spiritual condition, our spiritual health, if you will. It has to do with the life. It has to do with the walk. It has to do with the conduct of those who stand in Christ. You cannot abide in Christ until you're in Christ. But when Jesus twice says, I am the vine, he is saying, I'm here for you. So Jesus says to us, arise, let us go hence. And then he looks at us and he says, I'm the vine. Or I'm here for you. You don't have to go out there alone. Oh, how we need to hear Jesus say, I'm here for you. The vine exists for the branches. And he says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He says, arise, let us go out there. And you don't have to go by yourself. You go with me, and I am the source of everything you need. And I'm here for you. Abide in me. Well, how foolish not to. So this is a call to clearly discern who and what we are. We're the branches. Someone says, well, I want to be the vine. Well, you're not. We're the branches. Ye are the branches. So we have to discern between
who we are and what He is. We're the branches. He's the vine. It is a call to remind us that we need Him. And I believe the Lord often reminds us, you need me. The Lord many times will let us walk a little ways on our own, let us fall, to remind us, you need me. Abide in me, for without me ye can do nothing. In verse 6, without him we are like a branch withered. We're useless. And I believe all this, by the way, relates back to Judas Iscariot. That's another message. It is a call that serves as a warning. Without me, you can do nothing. That's a warning. Abide in me is a warning. It is a call to wonderful possibilities. Jesus says, abide in me. It is a call to a way of life. That ought to describe our life. It ought to be the life that we live. Abide in Him. It is a call to continuity of a relationship between us and Him. We need to hear. Let us go hence. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Abide in me. We need to hear that. And as we go hence, He's the focal point, because He's the vine. And as we go out there, we go out there into the midst of that which is fearful. And it's dismal. And it can be very distressing. Out there are the haters and the despisers of God. Out there is hostility and hatred toward God. But Jesus says, let us go hence. He doesn't just send us out there, but let us go. And then He says, by the way, I'm the vine. You're the branches. Abide in me. Out there, there are those who are proud of their sinful and vile ways. Out there is a multitude that seeks to force their rebellion and their ungodliness and their vileness upon an entire society. And out there is the spirit of Antichrist. But Jesus says, let us go hence. And I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Abide in me. Out there, we are bombarded with anti-God philosophies and fantasies and ideas that are absolutely an abomination to God. But Jesus doesn't send us out there alone. He says, let us go hence. And then He reminds us who He is and who we are and what we're to do. Abide in me. Out there is a world filled with difficulties. A world filled with problems, a world filled with sorrows and heartaches and trials and tribulations and pressures and battles and obstacles and storms and darkness and uncertainty. But we hear Jesus say, let us go hence. Let us go. If you go out there by yourself, you've made a foolish decision. You don't have to do that. Let us go hence. And if you, once you get out there, you try to do it all on your own, that's your decision. You don't have to do that. Because Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Just abide in me. It's like saying, just abide in me, everything will be all right. To abide is to keep to. So He is saying, let us go hence. You just keep to me. You just hold on to me. You just adhere to me. It is staying connected with Christ. Let me tell you something. You go out there and you don't stay connected with Christ, you will be a victim of this world. It is to continue and to remain with Him. It is to dwell with Him. It is to stay close to Him. Well, how do you do that? Believe. That's what He told us. To abide in Christ is fellowship and communion with Christ. We're social creatures. And if we go out there and we don't maintain communion with Christ and fellowship with Christ, we're going to find communion somewhere else out there. And once again, you will become the world. To abide in Christ is friendship with Christ. It's to maintain friendship with Christ. It's closeness, it's harmony, it's accord. Out there, we're bombarded with all kinds of foolishness. And as foolish as it is, many of God's people have come to believe a lot of it. We just need to stay in accord with Christ. That's what He says, abide with me. To abide with Christ includes a continual knowledge of Christ. A continual experience of Christ. You see, you go out there and you spend the day. You work, you do whatever you do. And at the end of the day, you get to think, you know what? The whole day, I didn't really experience Jesus Christ. I didn't talk to Him. I don't recall Him talking to me. You need to be aware of that whenever it happens. Because if you're not, you'll go out there the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And pretty soon, that's your life pattern. And you are the world. You have become a victim of the world. So if we go out there, and there are days, to our shame, we go out there alone, or we may even start the day with Him. But somewhere along the line, we lose contact. When that happens, we need to be aware of it. And then we need to pray that God would help us not to do that the next day. Because as the days add up, fearful patterns develop. To abide in Christ is to draw from His fullness. Isn't that what the branch does? Draws from the vine. Let us go hence. As we go out there, we've got to draw from something. And if you draw from the water of the world, your whole system is going to be poisoned. When that happens, you are the world. But Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You need to draw from me. We draw from Him. That means that we receive from Him. As you go out there, the world's going to offer many things. Christ offers Himself, I'm the vine. Which are you going to receive? That will determine your life. It'll determine your life. What are you going to feed upon? When Jesus says, abide in me, He's saying, receive from me. Feed upon me. You go out there, there's poison everywhere. But you just stay close to me and you feed upon me and you'll be all right. I believe that today. To abide in Christ means that our life is regulated by the Word of God. Your life has to be regulated by something. There's no getting around it. In John 15 and verse 7, he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. They're connected. Ye abide in me and my words abide in you. As we go hence, that is to be so. His words are to abide in us. Our life is to be regulated by His Word. To abide in Christ is to live and enjoy life in the vine. You go out there, and your determination is, I'm just going to live life and enjoy life in this world. You will become the world. You'll become a branch that's basically useless. Or you can go out there and say, I've got to live out there. And I'm going to live and enjoy life in Him. If you're looking for enjoyment out there, you're in big trouble. Let us go hence. I am the vine. You're the branches. Abide in me. Yes, we do have to go out there. You know, it happens every year at the conference. People, the last night, people leave and say, oh, I dread going home. Dread going back to work. But we have to. We can't stay in here all the time. I mean, there could be problems within a church building, but it's nothing like what's out there. So that's where we've got to live life. We don't have to go there by ourselves. We're to go with Him, focused upon Him, knowing that He is the source of life and nourishment that I need, knowing that without Him, I can do nothing, and going out there seeing the importance of abiding in Him. The results are many. Abiding in Christ will cause one to be fruitful. He brings that out in these verses. It gives us spiritual enablement. You won't find spiritual enablement in the world. That comes from the Lord. He said in John 15 and 5, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So he's saying, I'm the vine, and in me is the enablement that you need to bring forth. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Abiding in Christ results in power in praying. John 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Abiding in Christ results in right praying. What's right praying? Right praying is according to the Lord's will. And when we pray according to the Lord's will, there is answer to prayers. Abiding in Christ, we find the knowledge of God's will. People have some strange ways of seeking God's will. Scary. I'm going to tell you how to seek God's will. Abide in Christ. That's how you seek it. That's how you'll know it. Abide in Christ. You won't know it by talking to everybody else and getting their opinions. You'll know it by abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ will result in God being glorified. He said so in John 15, 8, herein is my Father glorified. Abiding in Christ is a necessity to being a disciple.
John 15:8 again, so shall ye be my disciple. Abiding in Christ will result in joy. Notice what he said in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. When we abide in Christ, he speaks, we hear. He beckons, we go. He commands, we act. And there's joy. There is joy when he speaks and we hear. There is joy when he beckons and we go. There is joy when he commands and we obey. My joy shall be in you. To abide in Christ is the life of the vine mastering us. That's what it means, abide in me. Jesus is saying, allow me, if you will, for lack of a better word, to master your life. Who would you rather master your life? What's out there? Look around. It doesn't take a genius. Just look around. Look around at people who are mastered by the world. Look at their families. Look at their lives. Then look at an individual that is mastered by Jesus Christ. Take a good look. It's as different as night and day. This had an impact upon John. Jesus said, abide in me and my joy. And later on in life, notice in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 1 John 1, 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard, this is John speaking, same John. We declare unto you that also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy might be full. John never got over it. He never got over Jesus saying, abide in me, there is joy in me. He never got over that. So again, there is happiness abiding in Christ. And we've said this 100 times. Happiness is not a pursuit. That is what the world is pursuing today. And they're not going to find it. It's not a pursuit. Happiness is a result all through the Bible. And it is a result of abiding in Christ. People say, I just want to be happy, so I'm going to go out there and do what I want. That's like saying, I just want to be healthy, so I'm going to eat poison. You want to be happy? Abide in Him. There's joy there. What we need to abide in Christ. You know, people will say, someone just said this to me a couple months ago, and it stuck with me. They're not here. I'm just not strong enough to abide. You've missed it. I didn't think of it at the time, but I thought of it later. You miss it. You don't need strength to abide in Christ. What you need is weakness. It's weakness that abides. It's not strength that abides in Christ. So what we need is not the strength. What we need is the weakness. Realizing without Him I can do nothing. So I better abide in Him. So, many times, instead of asking God for strength, what we need to pray is, Lord, show me my weakness. Did not Paul say, when I am weak, then I am strong? Abide in me. But I love those words. Let us go hence. I need to hear that every day. I don't want to go out there. But we have to. And I sure don't want to go out there alone. And I don't have to. I can go out there every day with Him. And along the way, because of my foolishness, He'll have to stop and He'll say, Dan, I'm the vine. You're the branch. Abide in me. I'm thankful He does that. I'm thankful that there's such a thing as abiding in Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us a verse of song.